Spotlight.
Good evening, listeners. Welcome in today's Spotlight. I am Aditya Shukla, and today we will be discussing about India's energy strategy amid West Asia crisis. We have with us Atul Aneja, strategic analyst. Welcome in this Spotlight, sir.
Thank you so much, Aditya ji.
The war in West Asia continues to escalate further, disrupting energy supply to the world. India, however, has taken several steps to secure its energy needs. We will discuss this strategy and way ahead in this critical phase with our expert. But let's begin with understanding the current situation first. Mr. Aneja, how the situation in West Asia is emerging and what are the new developments in the last 24 to 48 hours?
Situation in West Asia, specifically in Iran and the Strait of Hormuz, as well as the rest of the region, continues to be worrisome. There is continued violence from all sides. The Iranians are attacking American bases in the region, which includes Bahrain, Kuwait, UAE. So that continues in terms of the attacks, and the attacks on Israel continue, especially in Haifa. There has been considerable attack on the energy infrastructure, specifically the refinery in Haifa. And as far as any diplomatic initiative, there has been a proposal from the Americans conveyed through Pakistan, to which Iran has responded. But that's a logjam. There is nothing much to say about it because the gap in the positions of both countries is very, very wide. So the diplomatic track is not moving. There was this attempt by the Americans to rescue one of their pilots who was piloting the F-15 Eagle aircraft. And because it was shot down by the Iranians, there was a successful attempt to rescue the pilot. It was a big operation, but I think that we need to focus more on, was that an operation really to rescue the pilot, or was there a bigger design? Because the number of aircraft which have been used, helicopters, it's a huge quantity of air power and special forces, which makes one wonder that whether it was just a rescue or something else, because this particular mission took place near Isfahan, where a lot of Iranian nuclear fissile material is supposedly located. So the question arises, was it just a rescue or was it an attempt to actually take hold of the fissile material? There's supposed to be 400 kgs of fissile material enriched to 60% level. Whether it was to take that out from the region, in that case, then there's a very different kind of perception of the entire operation, which may not be just the pilot rescue, but a much bigger attempt by the special forces, which eventually has not succeeded. So that's essentially where we are. Then Donald Trump, in the last 24 hours, if you ask, has threatened Iran that if they do not come to the negotiating table and do not free the Strait of Hormuz, then there will be massive strike on their critical infrastructure, which includes bridges, oil wells, etc., etc. In fact, he had tweeted in a rambling tweet. Also, the language used has come under strong international scrutiny and condemnation about the next steps which the President Trump wants to take. There has been also rumblings within the American military. The chief of the army staff has been sacked by the defense secretary, Pete Hegseth. So there is also a dynamic internally which is going on within the United States. At a very dangerous situation, Aditya, right now, the deadline is about to pass. And if the United States and Israel goes ahead and, you know, fulfills their threat, which is obliteration of civilian infrastructure in Iran, in that case, then you have a major escalation coming your way, which I think is going to spiral in a very, very negative direction. So we are on the edge of a precipice, I would say, right now, Aditya, as we speak.
Mr. Aneja, you correctly mentioned that we are in a very dangerous stage at this juncture. So let's come back to our topic. Just give us a brief about India's energy demand and current supply, then we will be discussing it later on.
This is interesting because you see, the India's approach has not been surprising. It's the way we approached COVID when it came, that we turned adversity into an opportunity. You remember COVID struck us, we didn't even have PPT kits, but then we became the pharmacy of the world, not only healing ourselves, but also a large part of the global south. The government has taken a similar approach to turn this adversity into an opportunity. We have a new energy policy, in fact, which is coming, our new energy doctrine. What does that include? First, Diversification of procurement. You know, we are now, compared to the past, we were 60 to 65% dependent on energy sourced from the Persian Gulf countries. But now that has come down to 30 to 35. Our biggest supplier has been Russia, which has been providing us 44% or fulfilling 44% of our energy needs. So that's a very, very important step in diversification. And once the conflict has broken out, that is going to continue. In fact, we had the Russian first deputy prime minister, Denis Monturov. He was here last week. And not only are we going to buy Russian oil, but also LNG from Russia. So that is one area where we are diversifying. The second, Aditya, is Africa. Now, if you look at it, the countries which have been sort of zeroed on, one is Nigeria. Nigeria produces this oil, which is crude, which is called Bonny Light, which is easy to refine. And the transportation costs are not as high as it would be to the Americas. So about 15%, if I'm not mistaken, is earmarked for Africa. Two countries, one is Nigeria, other is Angola. Angolan crude is heavier than the Nigerian crude. I would suspect there'd be more shipments coming from Nigeria, but obviously Angola is also on the radar. And then we have 6 to 8% coming from the Americas, which is United States and Americas in general. So the basket has been widened. You know, we're no longer critically dependent on sourcing our oil from one particular geography, which is the Gulf. That is one part of the strategy. Second thing, Aditya, is that we have this strategic reserves. Right now, it's hard to know how much, but probably 9 to 10 days of the reserves we have right now. Now, the decision has been taken to expand our reserves, first to make it 20-day reserve. That is, we'll store oil which can cater to our needs for 20 days, and then expand it to 30 days. There are new sites which are being identified. Padur is one, Padur 2 is going to come up. And then there is Visakhapatnam, then one more is coming out in Karnataka. So we are sort of going ahead with expanding our reserves. That is also part of the new energy strategy which we have adopted. And then, if you look at it, there is also, when it comes to gas, that there is a focus now on compressed biogas. This is also part of the new strategy, as well as dimethyl ether. So you're not depending just on LPG, but you're also looking at other sources of cooking gas, for example. And finally, in the longer horizon, our focus is on renewable energy. And I think that's going to remain big time, probably expanding, which will include solar, wind, and nuclear, for example. Nuclear is a very important field. I think today itself, one of our reactors using thorium, fast breeder reactor, went critical. And we have enough reserves of thorium with us. So I think nuclear will come into the picture very strongly. Overall, managing this crisis well, along with diplomacy, which has come in. You see, we continue to get shipments from the Strait of Hormuz. That is because our prime minister is engaged with the president.
Mr. Nizar, does it also show that our oil processing companies are much capable, that they can process African oil, Russian oil, then Gulf oil? So how do you see the capabilities of our oil processing companies?
When it comes to refining, we are in excellent space because we can process the heavy crudes coming from the Ural crude coming from Russia is heavy crude. And the one which is coming, say, from Angola is heavy crude. First of all, you know, our refineries were going into maintenance phase, but that has been cancelled now because we need to produce as much as possible right now. So we have the capability. Second thing is, Aditya, we do blending, heavy and lighter crudes together and then process them. That is another thing. What happens though is, you know, your cost of electricity, etc., goes higher because more the higher grade crudes you process. Operation costs also goes up a little, but that's about all. Availability is not an issue. So if your price margin is good, you're getting oil at a cheaper price, which the Russians are continuing, by the way. I think there's wrong information to say that we are buying Russian oil at market price. We continue to buy at discounted prices. That offsets whatever extra we might have to pay for in terms of energy, in terms of electricity, etc. The overheads. The refining part is a real success story. You know, we also use some of our strategic reserves, a bit of that, just to make sure that there is no interruption after the crisis broke out. Not too much, but that was given to main public sector refiners like Hindustan Petroleum, Indian Oil, and Bharat Petroleum, so that there was uninterrupted, the work didn't stop in the refineries, not for a minute after the crisis began. So I think this is a really India strength, which is its refining heft, and which is showing during this crisis.
If I may say that India is turning this crisis into an opportunity for energy independence.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the whole approach. It's a proactive approach. We're not fighting a crisis. We think there's an opportunity here, and a strategic decision has been taken to make us energy self-sufficient. It's already paying off because some preparatory work had been done earlier, and now that is being accelerated big time. A lot of credit goes to the farsightedness of our planners and of the government and decision makers that today we are not found for being found out. And like I said, in COVID time, we ultimately became the net gainer. The same thing is happening when it comes to oil and gas and energy. We are also building some new infrastructure to receive LPG, for example. We are making more, or a decision has been taken to have piped gas
Yes.
rather than in cylinders. But for that, modifications have been made at landing points where your gas is being offloaded. That infrastructure is also coming up now. Personally, I don't think we need to worry about. We just need to work, and whatever other pieces on the ground which you already have, just make sure that they work efficiently.
As you mentioned, we are in a good position and citizens need not to panic. Listeners, an inter-ministerial press conference is also being held in Delhi to give detailed updates on the developments in West Asia. Let's listen in to Sujata Sharma, who is Joint Secretary in the Ministry of Petroleum and Natural Gas.
कमर्शियल एलपीजी के संबंध में जैसा कि आप जानते हैं भारत सरकार ऑलरेडी 70% तक कमर्शियल एलपीजी की सप्लाई रेस्टोर कर चुकी है और अभी तक 14 मार्च से लगभग 45,19,000 के सिलेंडर्स भी सेल हुए हैं और इसकी क्वांटिटी लगभग 86,400 मेट्रिक टन्स होती है। कल लगभग 6,500 टन कमर्शियल एलपीजी की सेल हुई और अगर इसको हम 19 किलो के सिलेंडर्स के टर्म्स में देखें तो लगभग 3.5 लाख होता है। 5 किलो के सिलेंडर्स मैं आपको बताना चाहूंगी कि फरवरी महीने में एवरेज सेल पर डे लगभग 77,000 थी। कल भारत सरकार ने एक नया ऑर्डर इशू किया है और इस ऑर्डर के द्वारा 5 किलो एफटीएल सिलेंडर की सेल को डबल करने की बात की गई है।
So the government has specifically said that there is adequate supply of petrol, diesel, LPG and PNG in the country and citizens need not to worry. Okay, now a straight question, Mr. Aneja. Do you think that India is better prepared today compared to the past crisis?
The decision to diversify, you remember that there was so much pressure from the when we were negotiating on tariffs with the Americans not to buy Russian oil. I think government stood firm on that. And that has paid us in good stead. So we have an alternate supply line coming from Russia, which is not interrupted because of the security situation during transit. So, you know, you have transit coming from Vladivostok. It comes down to the east coast of India through the Pacific and then Malacca, Bay of Bengal. And that route is not affected by the war. So I think that was a very far-sighted move, and that exercise of strategic autonomy to hold our ground where our vital interests are come into play,
yes.
That was very good. So overall, that's one part only. But I think the refining, which you mentioned about, the infrastructure that has been created on energy, all that combined together is helping us. Your main question, are we better prepared? Yes, we are better prepared. And tomorrow we will be in pole position. We'll be even more on the, we can play on the front foot better in the medium run. And then when we come to what we did in COVID, that we became the pharmacy of the world, we need to may be able to be in a position to export energy to our neighboring countries,
and
especially in South Asia,
yes.
Sri Lanka, maybe Bangladesh. That is where we have to go. The global south is very important to us, and especially the neighborhood. I think the way we are going, we can be the net supplier of energy supplier in our neighborhood,
yes,
very, very soon.
Exactly. We hope we will be Atmanirbhar and be the net supplier of energy as well. So, Mr. Aneja, as we are running short of time, I would like to have your short comment on the diplomatic efforts, how India's foreign policy has helped in ensuring uninterrupted oil supply, and how do you rate our diplomatic outreach?
Basic doctrine is very sound, which is maintaining our strategic autonomy, which means that we can engage with everyone. We are in a good position today to talk to the Iranians, or whether it's Israelis or it is the Gulf countries. And we are exercising the diplomatic option very, very strongly. Number of conversations with external affairs minister is having with his counterparts in the region. The prime minister has spoken to the president of Iran, as well as in the Gulf countries and beyond the Gulf countries, including the Americans. I won't be surprised if there's a similar conversation, which if not already will take place with the Russians as well. The foreign policy is so clearly linked to our national growth story, and it is coming good right now.
Exactly. So thank you so much for giving your valuable insights in this spotlight. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Listeners, you can also listen to this program on our mobile app News on AIR and our YouTube channel News on AIR Official. Namaskar.
Spotlight.